This is the award-winning Speak Your Peace with Darren Dudrick on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM, KODI, and 1140 AM, KZMQ.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Darren Dudrick. If you have a comment or a question, you may call us at 587-1400 or 1-866-833-4400. Speak Your Peace is brought to you by Tim Mayhew of Level 4 Wealth Management in downtown Cody. Call today for a no-cost, no-obligation consultation, 586-2700. Also brought to you in part by First Bank of Wyoming, your home lending partner in town, and Mountain High Health Foods. For health foods, vitamins, herbs, books, anything for healthy living, stop by Mountain High Health Foods, top of the hill in Cody. Once again, the phone numbers 587-1400 or 1-866-833-4400. When calling U.S. callers, please tell us your first and last name, and we limit callers to one call per show. Today's guests on Speak Your Peace, well, they're back again. We have the Republicans Opposed to All Rhinos, with the acronym is ROAR, R-O-A-R, and in the studio with me we have members of that. They're a political activist group, Larry French and Bob Ruckman. Gentlemen, how are you doing today?
Good. Thank you, Darren.
Tolerable.
That's good. That's important in this snowy, chilly weather. I appreciate you guys coming back. I had you guys come back because we wanted to kind of continue the conversation from a month or so ago. You guys were on for the first time, and just kind of fresh to this whole scene of kind of organizing a so-called group, but we wanted to get you on just to explain more or less what you guys do and so forth, or what the plan is. And talking to you, Larry and Bob, welcome back, Bob, by the way. You've been on the show for a while, but it's good to have you back.
It's good to be back, for sure.
And, you know, I get the feeling it's more like an educational type of group, a group that goes out there, maybe has events and educates people on conservatism, because as most people know, Republicans Opposed to All Rhinos. Rhino, as defined, is Republican in name only. So anyway, just before we get into some of the stuff that you guys want to talk about, Bob or Larry, one of you, can you just maybe just give the listeners, remind them of the background of the group and why you guys got started and so forth?
Well, one of the reasons that we got started was to actually define what things are. And, you know, you just defined a rhino, Republican in name only. Well, what is the definition of conservatism or being a conservative, and what's the definition of being a progressive and some of those kind of things? And one of the things that I'm really interested in, and I know Bob is too, is to bring young people into the fold. And in my opinion, if we don't start getting these millennials, which is my understanding is this largest population bubble coming through since the baby boomers. Well, Bob and I are boomers, and we're 68 years old, so it's time to bring those, what would be our grandkids, in and get them active and help them to understand what the issues are and the difference between conservatism, communism, socialism, Marxism, those kinds of things. And because we've got to, at some point, turn this leadership over to those young folks.
Now, the early thoughts, at least what Bob Berry, when you were on last time with Bob, he said that as of now, and I'm going to say as of now because who knows what will happen here in the future with you guys, but as of now, seeking nonprofit status. Really, you're not going to plan on maybe having any kind of meetings. Not a website, but there is a Facebook page, though, right? He said there was some Facebook page, or what is that Facebook page?
Evidently, Bob is working on that, and he's in Australia, and I don't know.
He's in Australia. He's down under, and you guys are here in freezing. Okay, so so it sounds like it's in developing, and it sounds like more of an educational.
There is going to be a website out there.
So there is, okay.
Yes, it's one of those issues where finding somebody has the technical acumen and is able to develop it for you that's going to be around for a while. Website developers come and go like the wind. So we're really trying to keep this where we can have people supporting it that are going to be here for a while.
Okay,
we don't want to have to reinvent the wheel every 4 months.
Now, a lot of people, you know, feedback that I received after the show, and I'm sure you guys have received feedback as well, some of it was, so what's the difference between this group and, say, the Tea Party, the John Birch Society, and the other conservative groups out there? You just said not reinvent the wheel, but some people think you might be trying to do that or trying to maybe, I don't know what it is, but how would you define that? If for people to think that you're just another John Birch Society, another Tea Party group, what's the difference between what you guys do and what they do? Because a lot of what they do is educate people as well. And I'm assuming you agree on some of the same lines as those other two groups as well, right?
On some things.
Some things, okay.
I've gone to John Birch meetings to see what they're about, and they're pretty radical in my mind.
So how would you – what would be the difference between, say, Roar and the John Birch or the Tea Party? What would you say?
The Tea Party and the John Birch Society really appealed to people 30 and above.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I mean, that's the demographic that they were appealing to. And realistically, what we're trying to do is look at the younger people and say, we'll go from 35 down or 40 down instead of up. I go to Northwest College three times a week for to use the Johnson Fitness Center and for therapy. And I get a chance to talk with a lot of the professors, instructors that are there, and a lot of students. They are sadly, grossly uninformed about what's happening in the world today, and they don't understand the terminology at all.
Because their heads are buried in technology and in the machines and the smartphones and the websites and the bloggers and everything else. And
the other part of that is the when you look at academia in the United States, and we have some examples here we'll get into in a little bit. The college professors, for the most part, are liberal. Many of them are socialists. Some of them are Marxist. And so if we haven't talked to our grandkids or and the younger people, their children, and explained to them the difference between what these things are, why capitalism is good instead of socialism and those kinds of things, then those professors are shoving their ideology down on those kids. I saw a little bit of it in 72 when I graduated from the University of Wyoming. But I also saw it much, much more when my children were going to school down there. And so we need to educate the professors, but more so these students, to give them the tools to be able to say, no, that's not exactly correct. That's not what that means.
And the problem with that is you have a lot of kids that don't maybe have maybe a single parent homes or don't have both parents, or maybe their parents aren't active in politics or understand what's going on in the world or don't follow current events, so they can't really explain. So when they go to a university setting, as Larry said, and I would agree with Larry, the majority of these professors are far left, and they most of them will put down their philosophy on things. And since these students, I call them kids, but these students don't have the background or don't have parents at home telling them certain things and for them to make their own minds up, they go to the college professors and they're influenced by their college professors.
Well, here's a couple examples that Bob researched and found. And University of Wyoming political science and government professors, this is a quote, "We want Bill Ayers to speak to our students to show what our government should look like." And Bill Ayers is a professor at the University of Chicago, a self-proclaimed terrorist. And his quote is, "Kill all the rich people, break up their cars and apartments, bring the revolution home, kill your parents." Now, why on earth would a professor at the University of Wyoming want our children to hear that? But bring it local. A Cody High School instructor, here's a quote, "It's America's fault for World War II and for using the nuclear bomb on Japan. We caused the war."
Now, this is from a teacher at Cody High School.
That's right.
Okay. Absolutely. I'm assuming this was passed on to you by maybe the student or the parent or somebody like that. Okay.
This was passed on by a person that actually listen to this Cody High School instructor say that.
Wow, wow.
So it's we're writing the quote, but it came from an individual that was there when he said it.
And here's another one. Drexel professor tweeted last year on Christmas Eve, "All I want for Christmas is white genocide." Political science and global studies professor George Cicerillo Mejar announced via Facebook that he would be resigning in order to continue, to quote, to support and work with students informally, whether in reading groups, in the streets, or both, so that he can battle against the so-called right and white supremacists. With the establishment of the Campus Antifa Network, we're at war, and academia is a crucial front in that war.
Yeah, I think that what sounds like what Rohr is trying to do, I think, is in essence a good thing. I think the more we can educate, the better. If that's indeed what you guys want to accomplish and plan on doing, I especially as Bob, as you said, the young people. Bob, I want to just ask you really fast. How would something you just stated a few minutes ago, how would the John Birch Society be more radical? And I'm, because people out there are listening thinking, okay, wait, Bob Ruckman just said the John Birch Society is more radical than Rohr. How would they be more radical, would you say?
Well, because they have a political agenda.
Okay. Oh, okay.
It's so a pure political
agenda. Okay.
We don't have a pure political agenda.
Okay. That makes
sense. Unless you consider just educating people a political agenda, because I'm not trying to educate somebody that pure conservatism is the best way to go.
You're not preaching that, saying,
no.
Hey, you need to do this or else kind of thing.
What I'm trying to do in this, and I think that the group is we'd like people to know that what is capitalism? What is it? Because you hear so many people say, well, capitalism is bad, we need to be socialist. Well, what is socialism? And those terms, we bandy them about. It's just like rhino. We could bandy rhino about what is a rhino ad nauseum. So let's get down to define really what, in pretty specific terms, what is a rhino?
You know, and that's one thing I wanted to ask. And I asked you guys the last time you were on, Larry, you might remember. And I think it's important to talk about this because a lot of people, when they hear the word rhino, and for lack of a better term, and this is probably an overstatement, some people think it's derogatory, thinking, you know, using the word rhino, it's after an animal that's a big animal, and you're accusing, although you're not saying they're rhinos like the animal, the rhinoceros, but you're saying that it's almost like an insult and almost an attack in the name itself, Republicans opposed to all rhinos. Is that something that you guys thought about and are concerned about at all? That people, it may turn people off right away because you're throwing out the word rhino, which some people take as a shot? I mean, is that a concern at all?
Every time that you take a stand, you're going to have somebody that objects to it. Doesn't matter what the stand is or what the circumstances are.
So the word rhino doesn't have any impact or feeling, or you don't feel it's a
no.
bad thing. Okay.
What we did, though, was we put together some definitions, and we have one here. What is a rhino? A politician who does not believe in being guided by and following the constitutions, plural, the state of Wyoming Constitution and the United States Constitution, the Bill of Rights. I lost my place here. Platforms, resolutions of local, county, and state, and national Republican parties, and using the office for personal gain or the benefit of special interests. Another one is a politician who endorses a Democrat by monetary or other means. We've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
A state politician who takes absolute direction from a federal agency. We had a meeting when I was chairman of the GOP, and had the legislators come talk to us. And one of the legislators was asked a question, do you believe in the 10th Amendment? And he said, yes, absolutely.
Like, and the 10th Amendment is about state sovereignty.
Okay.
Right.
Not states' rights.
There's
a
difference.
You hear so many people say states' rights. Go and read the Constitution. Read through the 10th Amendment, and it's about state sovereignty.
And so then about two questions later, somebody said, well, why did Wyoming pass Real ID or FID? And this is a quote. The feds shoved it up our nose. Okay, you either believe in the 10th Amendment or you don't.
Or you don't, sure.
And why would you allow a federal agency to shove something up your nose when you're a state legislator when it's, when, what is it, Bob, 15 states said no?
Yeah, 15 states said no to Real ID, and it was defeated in their state legislature.
But Wyoming said
Wyoming,
yes.
Wyoming passed it. But then, three different times now, the Wyoming state legislature has attempted to come back and negate the fact that they passed it.
Hmm, really? That's interesting. I did not know that. You know, we need to take a break. Before we do, I should, on the other, on the flip side of the Rhino thing, all listeners should know, and most people probably know this if they listen to Speak Your Piece, and I know you guys probably do, but the Democrats, the Democrat chairman of the Democratic Party, flat out said there is such a thing as a Rhino, and he thinks that what your group is doing may help them, because you're probably going to filter all the moderate Republicans or progressive Republicans to the Democratic Party. So there, even the Democrats will flat out say, yeah, there absolutely is are Republicans out there, or so-called Republicans, or people that masquerade themselves as Republicans that truly are Democrats. So it is a real thing. So for those that don't think it is, I have news for them. It is a real thing.
There's,
I mean,
actually a thing with dinos.
Yep, there you go. So you can, you can make a case for both of them.
There are people that are Democrat in name only that vote the other way in general elections, not in the primaries, but in the general elections and state elections, because they don't really support what the Democrat candidate is espousing.
So it works both ways. And we're going to take a quick break on Speak Your Piece. If you'd like to join the conversation today with the group Roar, Larry French, and Bob Ruckman, give us a call, 587-1400. We're back with more Speak Your Piece right after these messages.
The views and or opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily the views and or opinions of this station or its advertisers.
Have you heard of the many benefits of CBD oil? This is Marty from Mountain High Health Foods, and our customers are experiencing great results. If you suffer with pain, anxiety, or insomnia, stop in today and let us answer your questions. CBD oil is being studied for its many benefits. Mountain High Health Foods, serving the Bighorn Basin for over 20 years. We're open Monday through Saturday at the top of the hill in Cody.
Fly through Yellowstone Regional Airport in Cody and join a record number of passengers served by YRA in 2016. This select group, dedicated to no-hassle travel, decided to spend more time flying than driving. And with year-round service to Salt Lake and seasonal service to Denver beginning May 5th, YRA continues to enhance services for local passengers. Isn't it time you decided to fly right through Yellowstone Regional Airport?
Hi, this is Joe Bauer, mortgage lender at First Bank of Wyoming. Your home is important to you. After all, it's probably the biggest investment you'll make in your lifetime, and you want to be sure you're placing your trust in the right lender when you're ready to buy, build, or refinance. That's where we come in. Your friends and neighbors at First Bank of Wyoming will be here with you every step of the home loan process, from application to closing, and we've got the experience to answer any questions that may come up along the way. Just visit any of our mortgage lenders today to get started with your free home mortgage consultation. First Bank of Wyoming, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Planning a rustic Wyoming wedding with wide open spaces, clear lakes, and stunning mountain backdrops? Monster Lake Ranch is the perfect place to say I do. Call us today for all the details. We also invite you to join us every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for dinner in the Bliss Restaurant. You will love what Chef DeWitt is cooking up. The menu is always new and always delicious. Monster Lake Ranch, just 10 minutes south of Cody. Call 587-5960.
Uncle Ray for Garvin Motors of Powell. You know, when you're thinking about a used car or truck, I'd like to help you remember the letter S, as in selection, lots of cars and trucks to test drive, or savings, prices for every budget. An S is in service before the sale to help you find just the right one, and after the sale with a service department second to none. Stop, shop, and save at Garvin Motors of Powell. Your chariot awaits.
Come and check out a free computer clinic being offered at the Powell Commons on January 15th from 8 to 5. A group of local technicians will be offering free diagnosis, viral cleanups, and workshops throughout the day. Bring in that laptop or tablet that you haven't had the extra cash to have looked at. The techs can train you on programs and answer questions for you. Don't miss out on this valuable resource. It's happening Monday, January 15th at the Commons in Powell from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
This is Amelia Miller, member of our Cody Elks Lodge. On behalf of our exalted ruler, lodge officers, and local members, I want to welcome all Wyoming Elks and visiting Elks from other states to the state convention here in Cody. These members are proud, patriotic American citizens whose goal is to help those in need. So if you see an Elks member this weekend, please thank them, investing in our communities. And as always, stop by your local Elks Lodge to see how you can become a community investor.
Psst, it's me, your bathroom medicine cabinet. I see you naked, know how often you floss, and watch you pluck unsightly hairs. I can keep a secret, but you need to know. Your kids have been taking your prescriptions to get high. I couldn't keep it quiet, because prescription drug abuse now causes more deaths than cocaine and heroin ODs combined. So please, mind your meds. For tips on safeguarding your meds and your family, visit the Partnership for Drug-Free Kids at drugfree.org.
We are back on Speak Your Peace. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Darren Dudrick. Today I'm visiting with Larry French and Bob Ruckman. They are members of the political activist group, the Republicans Opposed to All Rhinos, the acronym ROAR. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 587-1400. Larry, you're telling me something interesting during the break, that one of the plans of the group is to get into the schools and to help, I guess, assist, it would be a good way to put it, assist maybe the teachers, the professors, whatever school it might be, into telling the students, help defining definitions for them. Is that something you guys plan on doing?
Yes, that's correct. It's my passion, I guess you would say, to bring, like I said, to bring these young people in. But what we need to do is we need to start with their education system. And I have talked to the principal at Powell High School, and they're not opposed to letting us come in, and we need to get that scheduled. But we want to make sure that they have an opposing view of what they're currently getting. So what that requires us is to make sure that we understand what their curriculum is, mm-hmm. and what they're being taught by their teachers, whether it's in Powell, Metitzi, or Cody, or at Northwest College, so that we can know what's going on. And, you know, we gave some quotes earlier, and here's one that says, "I know they say Stalin killed 20, 30, 40 million people. It's BS. I have yet to find one crime that Stalin committed." And this is Grover Furr of Montclair State University.
Now, explain to people who Stalin was. I mean, most people that know took history know who he is, but if they don't...
Stalin was the second communist dictator of the Soviet Union after Lenin. And he was the dictator during World War II. And so anyway...
Very bad guy.
Yes.
Very bad,
terrible guy. And there's a guy wrote a book called Unnatural Deaths in the USSR. L.G. Dykin estimated that the USSR suffered 56 to 62 million unnatural deaths during that period. 34 to 49 million directly linked to Stalin. And I had an interesting scenario. My daughter spent 3 years in Siberia as a missionary.
Hmm.
And so my youngest son and I went over to visit her. And she asked if we could take a wheelchair over. So we managed to get a wheelchair over on the plane and took it to a family in Siberia whose daughter was paralyzed. And she was so excited because it was the first time in 17 years she was able to get out of her room.
Wow.
And she was so excited. And that family was very, very poor, but when the war started, when World War II started, they owned farms in Belarus, and they got overrun by the Germans, and were forced to do things for the German army. Then they were overrun by the Russian army, and they were considered enemies of the state, Nazi sympathizers, and were sent to the gulags. And that family, you talk about somebody who absolutely hated Stalin, was that family because of their personal experiences of it.
Many of them felt it, yeah.
Well, look at the current political situation between Ukraine and USSR. There's a war actually going on that we came really close to being drug into again.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. Well, you have to go back in history and look at what happened during Stalin's reign with Ukraine. Ukraine was the breadbasket for wheat production. Stalin went in and took over all the farms, confiscated all the wheat, because Ukraine initially had been supporting Hitler. Because they had done that, he starved to death in 2 years, 3 million babies.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Fast forward to today. That animosity has not gone away. You still have tremendous animosity of two groups that have nuclear weapons that are in a battle with each other, and we don't want to be in the middle of those things. If we don't teach our kids history, we're going to end up in the same position that they are, because we're being divided as a country. You have Republicans against Republicans. You have Democrats against Democrats. In the last election, 60%+ of the Democrats in Wyoming voted for Bernie Sanders, who in his own words says, "I am a Marxist."
That's in my opinion, scary. I was going to say, it's very frightening.
It's really scary.
It is.
And that's why you have Democrats in name only, because you still have a group, 30-40%, that are not Marxist.
You know, I hate doing stuff like when Larry mentioned Stalin, I have to ask him to tell people who Stalin was. But, you know, it's just the day we live in. A lot of people don't, because they never learn that in school. And that is insane. We don't know who some of these world leaders were and who they are now. It's I don't know what's happening in our school system, university system, whatever the case might be.
That's true. And when we saw a perfect example of that, at Christmas, my wife and I had the opportunity to go to Orlando, Florida, and spend Christmas in Orlando. And it was beautiful while it was cold up here. And was watching where New Orleans is trying to get a rule to take the statue of Andrew Jackson down.
I heard about that, yeah.
And the whole basis is because he fought the Seminole Indians. But what the reality is, even though the War of 1812 was over, Andrew Jackson saved New Orleans. 4,000 American militiamen fought 15,000 British soldiers and whipped them and saved New Orleans. But the whole ramification of that is, if the British would have taken New Orleans, they would have then had control of the Louisiana Purchase. And Andrew Jackson was a hero. He became a president, was a fairly good president. So here we are, we've got a group of people who are wanting to go in and destroy part of our national heritage and our history. Now, are there anybody perfect? No. I was looking up a thing the other day about slavery. You know, and they want to tear George Washington's statues down and stuff because he owned slaves. The first legal slave owned in the United States, that was decreed by the courts that this guy had ownership of a black slave, was a black tobacco farmer in Virginia.
It was just the unfortunate time of this country. It was the way it was.
The whole world.
Yeah. The whole world, absolutely.
The other thing is, the colonies voted about slavery before the Civil War, before the Revolutionary War. And 10 of the colonies said no slavery in the New World. The King of England came in and said, "Excuse me, you don't have a say in this. I'm vetoing everything, and I have troops there because I control the slave trade coming out of Europe, going into America, and I'm making a lot of money on it. It's filling my coffers." That's never taught.
No, of course not.
In any school system. And on PBS just 2 days ago, there was a really good a show about heredity and ancestry. And they had William Macy, the actor, and then they had another lady, and I don't remember her name, but they're really kind of anti-slavery type, not radicals, but, you know, they think we should make kind of reparations.
Sure.
They went all the way back in their history, and guess what? Both families were slave owners. And those people sat there in utter awe of, holy mackerel, I didn't know that. Probably everybody has, if you were here, you know, before 1750 or after 1750 up to 1850, somebody in your family had slaves.
No, I think you're...
It is an unfortunate human condition. We've had slavery all the way back to Egypt.
Yeah.
Go back 5,000 years ago. It's not just attributed to the blacks. The Irish came here from England, and they were indentured slaves. They were sent here to work off debts.
That's...
And what's the difference? If you're a slave to somebody because you have to work for them for free to pay a debt, slavery is slavery to me.
I want to go back to you guys going into the schools and this whole part of this educational thing. Do you feel like this can actually happen? I mean, because we know how the schools are and so forth, how the education system is. Do you think they're going to allow this, or are you going to expect some blowback from maybe Northwest College, or maybe the schools decide, hey, this is something we can't do, or we're too worried about it? What do you think?
Actually, I think what will happen is they'll allow us to go in at least once, and then depending upon how much blowback we get, as to whether we get to go back or not.
And you guys are going to go in with the intentions of just giving definitions of words and so a little bit of the history about some of the figures in history and how some of this stuff came to be, right? That's the whole...
Well, that would be part of it, but another part of it would be to... one of them that would be really interesting would be to take the Bill of Rights with us and ask the teacher... This would be really wild... But ask the teacher if she or he could explain the First Amendment. Then they get input from the students as to what they think the First Amendment is, and then actually read it to them and say, this is what it actually says.
It's pretty sad that people outside the education system have to go into schools or want to go into schools to do stuff like this. I'm not saying all of our teachers don't want to, but it's the school district doesn't allow it. It's just... crazy that we have to have people that are not connected with the schools wanting to do this.
Here's a quick ism definition. Communism and versus fascism.
Because there is somewhat of a difference.
Oh, there's a huge difference. But both of them take control of the press, so we wouldn't be able to do this show in any of the communist or true fascist countries.
No, you're right, sure.
Okay? They take control of the mass media. And they control and state whatever the message is that the government in power wants to have. Okay? So I went into a U.S. government class in Nevada, actually in three different high schools. And I asked them the definition of the difference between a republic and a democracy. And the students kind of looked at me, the instructor's laughing because he had just taught about this for a week. I said, here's the definition. And I took $20 and I handed it to a really good looking guy that I figured was an athlete.
Okay.
I said, I'm just going to give this to you. And I turned to the rest of the students, and there was 35 of them in the class. And I said, okay, is it fair that I just gave this guy based on his looks $20? And you should have heard all of the no's. I said, well, let's just take a vote. Everybody here that doesn't think he should have that money, raise their hand. Well, everybody in the class raised their hand. I said, well, then, do you think this, and I picked out a really nice, cute girl, she should have the $20. How many of you agree with that? Well, most of the guys that were in class raised their hands to give the money. And I said, okay, let's count. We had two over the 50%. I said, in a democracy then, I'm going to take this $20 from you, and I'm going to give it to her, because majority rules. I said, in a republic, if I gave you that $20, it didn't matter how many number of people that voted for it, because it's the rule of law. If the law doesn't say that we can take that $20 from you, it's yours. I said, so which do you guys want? Do you want a democracy or do you want a republic? Every single student in all three high school classes said, we want a republic. We don't want a democracy. And yet, what do you hear all the politicians in Washington, every place else, in all the news media? We're a democracy.
Yeah. Because they probably don't know what it is.
They don't know the difference.
And it'd be interesting to see if you took that same thing and went to a university. I don't know if they'd let you do that in a university setting. They'd probably throw you out before you got to the other vote or whatever.
I'd probably have to make it a $100 bill.
Here's another example of the difference between a democracy and a republic. So you have 10 people that don't like what you're doing. So they come and they say, we don't like what you're doing, so we're going to kill you. They take a vote. 9 out of 10 of them say, yep, we're going to kill Darren. So they just take you out.
Nice. Okay, well.
Or Larry or Bob, it doesn't matter. But in a republic says, okay, what is the charge? What did Darren do wrong? And then we're going to go by the law and by a jury of your peers. And if they say, no, this is just trumped up, you get to go free. There's no basis for this. You get to go free. But if there's a basis for it and you did something wrong, then a jury of your peers tells what's going on. And that's one of the fundamental differences.
See, now with me, the problem with that is I'd be in trouble either in a democracy or a republic. I think I'd be in it regardless. It's probably
the position you're in, yeah. Probably.
Not a good example, Larry, but I understand. And then those are the kind of things. So those are the kind of things that you want to present in a classroom, which I think is a good thing. I mean, again, I don't know why the schools aren't doing this, but they're not, so somebody has to, and I'm glad you guys are stepping up and thinking about this, at least. That's a good thing.
Well, and that's what ROAR is all about, is to come together as a group, and we'll have some meetings. There will be public meetings and some functions and try and get this put together. But we're in the infancy, but we've got some really good ideas and want to continue on.
Let me ask you a question. A lot of people probably wonder this, listening to this program and knowing about your group. Should all Republicans be conservative? Is that, I mean, by your definition and the definition of conservatism, should all Republicans be conservative? And if they're not conservative in any way, shape, or form, does that not make them a Republican? And what you, the way you guys think, I'm assuming that you think all Republicans should be conservative, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, here's the definite, what we define Republican as. Being a Republican is predicated on being guided by the following: the constitutions, both state and federal, Bill of Rights, platforms, resolutions of the local, county, state, and national party. And
now, is that a definition, Larry, that you found, an official definition, or something that your group said that a Republican should be?
This is actually an official definition, and we went to all the way back to an 1878 Webster's Dictionary. I happen to have
be a collector's item.
It's worth. I bought it for $80. It's worth over $400.
Whoa! Now. Wow!
So it's good appreciation too. Yeah. It's about 3.5 inches thick. We went to that dictionary. Larry brought up the collegiate dictionary, and then we went online to three different dictionary and thesaurus type programs. Took all of those that had commonalities.
Okay.
Because if one has a phrase, but none of the others do, you take it out of the definition.
Sure.
And in general, then we applied it to, if you're going to be a Republican, on top of the conservatism, well, you need to follow the party platform.
And
so
here's
part of it is a legal definition, and part of it is following the party platform.
So that's the big part, the platform, because if you don't follow the party platform, how can you be a Republican in the right. Republican Party?
Okay. And we, along doing what he just said, we came up with the definition of conservative or conservatism. It's the inclination, especially in politics, to maintain the existing or traditional order, the disposition to retain what is established, and to practice a policy of gradualism rather than abrupt change. A political philosophy or attitude that emphasizes respect for traditional institutions and opposes the attempt to achieve social change through legislation or publicly funded programs. Yeah. So let's take this for example. Let's say that you have a Republican that looks at the platform and he picks one out and he says, I don't believe in this platform, and here's why. Does that mean we should throw him out? Depends upon what the platform is and what's going on. Should he be labeled a rhino? That depends upon definitions. Because Ronald Reagan had a saying, 80% my friend, 20% my enemy, still my friend. So you have, you know, there's got to be some flexibility.
There you go.
Through, tripping over my tongue in that. But still, we had a now retired senator in that meeting I was telling you about say, somebody asked about the platform, and this is a quote, "Your platform is out of date, and we don't have to follow it, and don't follow it." Well, excuse me.
And he actually made it personal. He said, "I'm not going to follow it." He didn't say the whole group, but he said, "I'm not going to follow it."
You know, I want to go back to your name because for those that – for help the listeners and myself understand, when you say opposed to all rhinos, are you opposed to people that believe a certain way, that feel a certain way? How would you explain that to somebody so they don't think that you're being I guess, mean.
Well, this gets down to it's a numbers game.
Okay.
There was a gentleman that is an engineer, lives in Gillette, and he designs all the shock absorbers for Indy 500 cars right out of Gillette. Hmm. I mean, he's a really smart individual.
I bet,
so
yeah.
He sat down and developed a model, statistical model, and took all the votes of every single member of the House and the Senate for every bill and just plotted them. And what he found was the Democrats stay with their agenda. They vote in block across the chart, lockstep. They don't ever deviate. The Republicans started way down at the bottom as really conservative and maybe even a couple of John Birch conservatives, all the way up to moderate, but they crossed the Democrat.
Hmm.
Well, you had a Republican representative from right here in Park County that voted 95% of the time right lockstep with the Democrats. That's unequivocally a rhino. The only reason they ran as a Republican is they knew they couldn't get elected, that individual couldn't get elected running as a Democrat.
So you're opposed to the way they present themselves.
Yes, and then how they vote.
And how they vote. So it's an opposition toward that. Okay. This isn't personal. People should know this has nothing to do with making a personal attack. It's them as a politician and how these people vote.
And your votes. And I've gone back on all of the federal representative and senators and tracked their votes going back 5 Congresses.
Wow.
And then I've looked at them for the votes that fall within the platform, those that fall outside of the platform, and those that would be approved by the Park County Republican Party's platform or by the state platform. And then those, there's a couple of groups that are considered to be not radical alt-right, but they're just conservative groups. And then there's a middle of the road kind of group. We identified those that would vote yay or nay on specific bills. And then we plotted how did our representatives and senators vote.
We got to take a break because we're almost at time. We got 10 minutes left in the show, but we want to get a quick break in before the top of the hour. And we could continue that, Bob, on the other side if you wish. If you'd like to join the conversation today with Republicans opposed to all rhinos, give us a call, 587-1400. We'll be back with more Speak Your Peace right after these messages.
When you need physical or occupational therapy, the choice is yours. Ask for a referral to Canyon Therapy. This is Allison Tipton, and we offer care designed to get you back to a healthy lifestyle. We work closely with your physician to ensure that you have the best possible outcome, and our elite team of therapists are some of the best in the business. Canyon Therapy is conveniently located on Cody's West Strip. Call 587-9789. Canyon Therapy. Relief. Recovery. Results.
The Bighorn Co-op has locations in Riverton, Worland, Basin, Powell, Grable, and Buffalo to help you travel around our area. They've got everything a convenience store needs and so, so much more. From new tires and the guys to put them on to animal feeds and pet supplies. You can pick up supplies to fix your furnace or your plumbing. Fill your vehicle with gas and fill your tummy with treats. Stop by and see what the Bighorn Co-op has to make your day easier. The Bighorn Co-op in Grable, Basin, Worland, Riverton, Powell, and Buffalo.
Northwest College Cody Center, your Cody Connection. We're a connected campus with a common goal, helping you reach yours. Whether you're interested in pursuing a degree through credit classes or prefer a workforce training program in healthcare or business, there's still time to register for face-to-face and online spring classes. Check out NWC's Cody Center in the Park County Complex on Stampede Avenue. Your future, our focus. On the web at nwc.edu/Cody.
Almost anything, Big R's got it.
Check out the DeWalt Tools this week at Linton's Big R. Get the 14-inch cutoff saw for just $157.95 or the DeWalt Drill Driver Combo at just $199.95. And they've cut the price on the angle grinder, now only $79.95. The best prices on DeWalt Tools are at Linton's Big R.
Big R Store.
Hello again, this is Brother Kyle Reed from Tennessee. We'll be bringing the message 9 a.m. Sunday morning. We pray that you'll tune in with us. I hope everyone in the Cody and Bighorn Basin area can tune in, listen to the gospel message about Jesus and His goodness. Again, 9 a.m. Sunday morning, Brother Kyle Reed from Tennessee. May God bless your soul, and I pray that we can be a help to someone in the area. Thank you.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
We are back on Speak Your Peace. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Darren Dudrick. Today I'm visiting with Larry French and Bob Ruckman. They are members of the political activist group, so-called, Republicans Opposed to All Rhinos. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 587-1400. If you guys do get in schools by chance, is some of the maybe definitions you're going to define for some of the students would be liberalism and a Democrat, or are you going to get on the left side of the aisle? You guys can just stick to the right side. Is you getting into progressivism or anything like that?
Yeah, we want all of them.
So the students can make their mind up.
Correct.
What direction they want to go in.
We're
okay.
Not trying to dictate to anybody. And we would like to hear from everybody, and we have a email address.
Oh, good. Okay.
Called definitions@protonmail.com. Definitions at protonmail.com. And we would love to hear from you and help us with our dialogue so that we understand what the people of Park County feel about conservatism or progressivism. And with that, I'll let Bob finish up the show.
Okay, sure. Go ahead, Bob.
We have a lot of definitions that we really need to talk about. One of the good ones here for education is in fascism. The German press adored FDR. In 1934, Beobachter, the Nazi Party's official newspaper, described Roosevelt as a man of irreproachable, extremely responsible character and immovable will, and a warm-hearted leader of the people with a profound understanding of social needs. Hitler sent FDR a letter celebrating his heroic efforts and successful battle against economic distress. And when you think about this, that's progressive socialism. And we had what is arguably one of the worst villains of a whole century sending thank you letters and words of praise to FDR, but FDR is, none of this is ever portrayed in the school. And I think as we can't be one-sided about things, education should not be one-sided as well.
And that is extremely dangerous when they are.
Oh,
extremely dangerous.
Absolutely. I just saw on the screen that they approved the FISA Act again. Well, let's drop back here to one of the definitions on the communism and Marxism and fascism. Having secret police and secret courts. And if the FISA court is not a secret court, none of us get to see why they made a decision, how they made a decision. I have grave concerns about where we're headed. And I think part of this is because I've talked with politicians from dozens of states, one-on-one, just like we are here. And I'll ask them questions about how they define these things. And I will tell you, an overwhelming supermajority look at me and say, Bob, I really don't know.
Wow, that's...
Political science majors.
Frightening, yeah.
And that is frightening.
I had a opportunity to throw my name in the hat to become a Wyoming state senator when Senator Northrup passed away. And it's a split seat, so the Bighorn County Republican Party and the Park County Republican Party chose three, and then the commissioners chose one, which they chose Ray Peterson. And one of the things we talked about in the questions was the Constitution. And one of the people that had thrown their name in the hat said, the Constitution, what relevancy does that have? Fortunately,
okay.
That person did not get picked. But, you know, if you're a Christian and you believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God, then you follow the Bible. Okay? As Americans and our freedoms and stuff, we should follow the Constitution. It's not a living document.
We got about 10 seconds left. Is there a phone number? If somebody's listening says, hey, this is a group that I may want to be involved with, how can they get a hold of you guys?
Send us an email to definitions@protonmail.com.
Okay.
That's protonmail.com.
Bob Ruckman, Larry French. Gentlemen, thanks for coming on today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. And that will do it for Speaker Peace. Thanks for listening today. I'm Darren Dudrick. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.
This has been Speak Your Peace with Darren Dudrick on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM KODI Cody, and 1140 AM KZMQ Graybull.